Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, if you've been anywhere in the country in the last 10 years paying attention to the battle between good and evil, the gospel of Jesus Christ versus the forces of darkness, then you know about Chaplain Klingenschmitt. Gordon Klingenschmitt has such a testimony in a battle that he fought with the U.S. Navy, of all things. So we're going to find out about that, and he's a hero of mine for many reasons, but especially because he has a heart for the Lord and then to love your neighbor for the innocent unborn child. And he's a big supporter of personhood. So, Chaplain Klingenschmitt, can I call you Chaps?
Yes, sir. God bless you, Bob, and God bless your listeners in Jesus' name. Can I say that on your show?
You sure can. Now, you got in big trouble with the U.S. Navy for saying that. But Dr. Chaps, I'll call you doctor. You have a PhD, right?
I just earned it last month after 8 years of work. So yes, a PhD in theology from Regent University.
Well, congratulations, Dr. Chaps. Could we tell the audience maybe the thumbnail version and then back up to the details? Because you had quite a confrontation with the U.S. Navy.
Yes, many of your listeners will remember in 2006, the Navy wrote a bad policy, said military chaplains cannot pray in Jesus' name outside of a Sunday chapel. So I took a stand against that policy. I prayed in Jesus' name. I violated the policy. I went to a misdemeanor court martial.
You did this with our dear friend, Judge Roy Moore, who's been on this show promoting personhood, Alabama Supreme Court Chief Justice, former. And he was at the Capitol at a press conference, and you prayed in Jesus' name.
Yes, Judge Roy Moore flew to Washington, stood with me outside the White House, and protested the bad Navy policy, SecNav Instruction 1730.7c, which said that chaplains have to pray what they call non-sectarian prayers. In other words, don't use the J word, or you might offend somebody if you pray outside of chapel.
Now, for many years, decades, in fact, going back to the 1800s, is it? The chaplain in the Navy, if he's a Christian chaplain, he could pray in Jesus' name. Now, a Jewish chaplain would not be forced to pray a Christian prayer. Isn't that correct?
That's right. And that's why in 1860, President Abraham Lincoln signed Navy regulations saying that chaplains may conduct public worship according to the manner and forms of their own church. So a Jewish chaplain obviously does not have to pray in Jesus' name, but a Christian chaplain is authorized by law to pray in Jesus' name. That's federal law today, and the Navy violated that law.
All right. So they ended up with a horrendous policy that said you can't pray in Jesus' name. You violated that policy. Boy, you got guts, Chaps.
Well, I stood in front of the White House on a Thursday morning.
At the White House.
And I wore my full dress uniform, and I prayed in Jesus' name on national television. Yeah, I violated the policy, and I went back to work, and I demanded my own court-martial.
You're our kind of guy. You demand your own. I mean, Daniel did this in the Bible when the king said, you cannot pray to any god but me, basically, my image. And Daniel opened his windows and prayed publicly so people could see what he was doing, that he was violating that law. If the Bible was being written today, you'd be in it, Chaps. You'd be in the Bible. These are the Bible days. It's just that it doesn't happen to be written right now. But we're living for the Lord today, as Daniel was back then.
Well, I'm inspired by Daniel, but also Peter and John. You remember in Acts chapter 4?
Oh, yeah.
They were hauled in front of the Sanhedrin and ordered, you will not preach or teach or anything at all in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. And they said, who are you, Pharisees? Should we obey men or should we obey God? And they disobeyed men and they obeyed God. They kept on preaching and teaching in Jesus' name, and they were flogged in Acts chapter 5. And that was my model. I demanded my own court martial, and God bless the Navy brass. They granted my request.
They sure did. Now, if we fast forward, which I actually want to go back. But if we fast forward till today, you've managed to get the Congress behind you and they've changed this horrible Senate policy. But could we back up now? Because you didn't start out in the Navy. You started out in the Air Force. And we have some dear friends like Dr. Walt Brown, a hero of the creation movement, and he switched services, branches. And this is a very difficult and unusual thing to do. So you did it. So could we start out before you were in the Navy? Tell that part of your testimony, then we'll go forward.
Well, you mentioned that I was vindicated by Congress, and yes, Congress reversed the bad policy, so it was a great victory in the end. But I started out in 1986 at the U.S. Air Force Academy, and I got saved at the Air Force Academy. I was a drunk and a womanizer before that, but I met the Lord Jesus Christ. I invited him to rule my heart. I was born again on 13 December 1986. I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I actually went on to become a missionary with YWAM, Youth with a Mission. I did 1 year of missionary service all throughout Mexico. And then I went back to the Air Force Academy. I graduated and became a missile launch officer in North Dakota.
Now, all these things are so exciting that you're talking about. And the connections for our audience and even members of our Denver Bible Church. We have a young gal at our church that's just about to join up with YWAM. That's exciting. Lauren Cunningham, one of the founders of YWAM, had a theology, he's with the Lord now, a theology that's very similar to what we teach here at Bob and Yurt Live in our Bible studies. He was a great man of God. And you were at the Air Force Academy, and that's where our dear friend Dr. Walt Brown taught at the Air Force Academy. He had been an Army Ranger and then ended up switching to the Air Force to teach the physical sciences there. So there are a lot of interactions between your life and the lives of the people we love and care so much about. So, okay, now you've graduated from the Air Force Academy, and you're in military intelligence.
Well, I did a missile tour, I did a quality management tour, and I did an intelligence tour. About 10 years and 1 month as an Air Force officer, I was promoted to the rank of major, but they would not let me be a chaplain. I got my seminary degree, and I wanted to preach the gospel, so I got ordained, and I did civilian ministry on the side, and finally I went to the Air Force. I said, can I be a chaplain? I want to preach the gospel. They said, no, you have to stay as a missile officer. We'll give you a job at the Pentagon. We'll promote you to 05 Lieutenant Colonel. Oh. But if you really want to be a chaplain, you got to quit the Air Force and join the Navy and take a demotion and a pay cut.
Now, nobody would do that. You had already earned a couple master's degrees by then.
Yes, I got my MBA and my Master of Divinity. And when they offered me the pay raise and the promotion, I said, you know what? In 10,000 years, is it going to matter how much money they paid me or how much rank I earned in the military?
I don't think so, no.
But in 10,000 years, it's going to matter what did I do for the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Wow.
So I said yes. And so I volunteered for a demotion ceremony. You ever see an officer get demoted?
Well, not willingly. So what happened?
Well, I raised my hand and swore the oath. They took off my oak leaves and put on lieutenant bars. One day I was in the Air Force, the next day I was in the Navy, and they cut my pay and they sent me to sea. Welcome to the Navy Chaplain Corps.
Oh, wow. What ship were you on?
They sent me to USS Anzio. Picture this cruiser, right? 300 young men in the Eastern Med, and there's this Air Force Zumi trying to get his sea legs. And 7 days later, we started launching Tomahawk missiles into Baghdad, Iraq.
Oh, my. And that was right after, if I recall, the Army had sent in Apache helicopters, about a dozen of them or so, and took out a good part of Baghdad's air defenses. And I worked on the Apache helicopter for McDonnell Douglas Helicopter Company in Arizona, in Tempe, Arizona, Mesa, actually.
Yes.
So I paid close attention to all that. So at the time, I had a brother in the Lord who's out at sea launching Tomahawk missiles. Now, you're the chaplain, but the ship is launching Tomahawks.
Yes.
That was a stunning moment in history. To be there, wow.
Well, I was surrounded by young people who wanted to be right with God before they go to war. So we had standing room only at our Bible studies, and I led 45 sailors to faith in Jesus Christ out of 300. That's about 15% of the crew got saved.
That's a bona fide revival.
We had a revival.
In the Navy.
We came back from the war, and we began serving the homeless in downtown Norfolk, serving food and working at the Union Mission. My sailors won 6 awards for community service, including Best Small Ship in the Navy for community service programs.
Oh.
Had a great revival on that ship, but then I was punished for quoting the Bible in church.
You actually were? By your superiors?
Yes. I preached the gospel.
This was at a funeral?
It was at a memorial service in the chapel, Saturday afternoon, optional attendance, and I quoted the Bible. I said, thank God this young sailor who had passed away in a tragic motorcycle accident, but thank God that he is in heaven today because of his faith in Jesus Christ. And I quoted John 3:36, if anyone believes in the Son, he has eternal life. If anyone does not believe in Jesus, he does not have eternal life, for God's wrath remains upon him.
Oh, wow. Now, John 3:16 is nice, and I love John 3:16, and we preach it. But then John 3:18, John 3:36, those are not quite as nice because they tell the rest of the story that Jesus Christ is life if you believe in him. But if you reject him, then you're saying, I don't want to live with you, Lord, in heaven. I'd rather live forever without you. And that's the part of the story that's not as nice.
Well, my commanding officer got mad when I quoted John 3:36. He called me into his stateroom Monday morning, and he leaned forward, and his eagles were shining, and his eyes were angry. And he said, Chaplain, I heard you say that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Well, I've never accepted Jesus as my Savior, so are you telling me that I'm going to hell? And I didn't answer. I said, you know, sir, I never quoted your name. I just read the Bible. And if you applied the Bible to your own heart, maybe that's between you and God.
Oh, wow. So he didn't appreciate that answer.
No. In fact, he punished me in writing three times for that one sermon. He told a Navy board, don't renew this chaplain's contract. Kick him out of the Navy because he overemphasized his own faith system in his sermons and in his prayers.
Okay. So did they take his recommendation seriously?
Well, they were about to. I was about to lose my 14-year military career at this point. But I staged a protest in front of the White House. I called a hunger strike. I went without food. I drank water only for 18 days. I lost 14 pounds.
You began with communion.
I broke communion bread in front of the White House. I said, I will not eat again until the President of the United States lets me pray and preach in Jesus' name. And 75 congressmen agreed with me, wrote to the president on my behalf. 300,000 Americans signed a petition for Jesus. I was on the front page of the Washington Post, New York Times, Washington Times.
This is our kind of guy. No wonder you're a pro-life Christian warrior, chaps. So all this happened, and what was the result?
Well, the Navy backpedaled and surrendered to public opinion. I had an 85% public approval rating, and so the Navy said, we weren't really going to fire him. Let's renew his contract for three more years. So I stopped my hunger strike. I went back to work. Do you think those admirals and senior chaplains were happy to see me back at
work?
They
must have been enamored by the thought of you showing up again at your desk. So your ministry is called Pray in Jesus' Name. It's the Pray in Jesus' Name Project. As we continue to hear from you, chaps, we're speaking with Chaplain Gordon Klingenschmidt, of formerly with the U.S. Navy. As we talk to him, if you're at your computer, you might want to go to PrayInJesusName.org. You'll see his picture there. In fact, you could sign up for his weekly newsletter that you'll get in your inbox. And you'll find out that he's strongly preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ while he's loving his neighbor, supporting the right to life of the unborn child. He is a major ally of the Colorado Personhood Coalition, Colorado Right to Life, Personhood USA. Okay, so now you're back, you've got your job, and the brass is upset.
Well, I got a brand new three-year contract, but you're right. They began conspiring behind the scenes. You might picture the Pharisees conspiring with Pontius Pilate to crucify the young prophet, and that's what they did. 6 weeks later, they wrote a bad policy, SecNav Instruction 1730.7c,
said that all the chaplains
have to pray non-sectarian prayers. Don't pray in Jesus' name unless you're inside of a Sunday chapel. I read this policy and I said, if they're going to empower commanding officers to punish chaplains who pray in Jesus' name, I want to be the first. Wow. I volunteer to violate this bad policy.
Chaplain, we here at Bob and Your Live, we've been on the air for 21 years or so. And in Colorado, they passed, it was called Colorado Senate Bill 200 back in 2008. And the governor actually signed it. And it says explicitly it's prohibited to publish any discriminatory matter that would tend to speak against cohabitation and homosexuality. So we created a flyer here at Bob and Your Live. We went right down to the Capitol. We gave it to the governor's office, the representatives, the senators. And we said, we're violating this law. Arrest us. But they refused. But that law is on the books right now. People could just Google. It was Colorado Senate Bill 200. If you Google that, you'll find it. It's a horrendous discrimination censorship against the teaching of Christian morality in Colorado. But you were in the Navy, and you boldly said, I'm going to break this regulation.
That's right. And I stood in front of the White House on a Thursday morning. I prayed in Jesus' name on national television, and I violated the bad Navy policy. So I went back to work. I demanded my own court-martial. It went to a trial, and I was found guilty of a misdemeanor crime of disobeying orders.
Wow. So has that ever happened in the history of the service that somebody demanded a court-martial?
Well, I kind of fell on my sword. I took a stand on principle. I did it on purpose.
Sure.
And I don't have any regrets, but I don't advise that anybody else try this at home.
No.
Because right. It was very costly to me. I was found guilty of a misdemeanor crime. And here's what the judge wrote. He said that because of the bad Navy policy, 1730.7C, that chaplains have a right to conduct public worship, but only in Sunday morning chapel. That since I prayed on a Thursday morning outside the White House, Chaplain Klingenschmitt was not engaged in public worship. Instead, he was worshiping in public.
Oh, come on. Come on. That was the legal distinction he drew?
They wrote that public worship is a legal term of art, that I was worshiping in public, and so I'm guilty of a misdemeanor crime.
They strain at a gnat and swallow a camel, as the Lord said. So what is that fine legal distinction? Their policy is that you are allowed to have public worship, but you were not allowed to worship in public.
That's exactly what the judge wrote in his decision, that I violated, quote, a lawful order, and I don't have any First Amendment rights.
It's just stunning. As a chaplain, you can't pray in Jesus' name. That's why the name of your ministry is so encouraging, the Pray in Jesus' Name Project, Pray in Jesus' Name. Okay, so now you asked for a court-martial. They gave it to you.
Well, I was found guilty on 14 September 2006 of a misdemeanor crime, but it outraged the American public. I had an 85% public approval rating. Now 300,000 Americans signed a petition for Jesus, causing a national revival, and we shut down the Capitol Hill switchboards. I met with the chief of staff of Senator John Warner on the Hill, and the next day, Senator Warner made a speech on the floor of the U.S. Senate. I am being besieged by bloggers, emails, phone calls, faxes. Everyone in America wants to let chaplains pray in Jesus' name.
Of course they do. I mean, probably atheists would think a chaplain should be able to pray in Jesus' name. If you have chaplains.
Well, I also advocated for a Muslim's right to pray to Allah, a Jewish person's right to pray to Adonai. Let the Catholics pray to Mary if they want to. But when it's my turn, I must be allowed to have free speech.
Well, it's just a matter of freedom that comes from God. Our free speech doesn't come from the Constitution. It doesn't come from the government. Free speech comes from God. So that if a government, if we're in Iran and the government says, you cannot pray in Jesus' name, well, then they're breaking God's law. You don't look to the government for permission to preach the gospel. We have that permission from God. So absolutely, the right to free speech and freedom of religion is something we get from our Creator.
Well, Senator Warner said on the floor of the Senate, by order of Congress, and he talked to Don Rumsfeld about this, we are ordering the Navy to reverse and rescind the bad prayer policy 1730.7C, the same policy quoted by the judge in my trial, the same policy that I violated outside of the White House. And thanks be to God now, that bad prayer policy is reversed and rescinded. All the other chaplains are free again to pray in Jesus' name, even in public, even in uniform, 7 days a week. It was a great victory for religious liberty.
So the U.S. Navy chaplains can pray in the name of the Lord. They don't have to give these non-sectarian prayers, and that is a specific victory of the courage that you had. Chaps, in the book of Revelation, at the very end, when God is laying out the sins that send people to hell, the very first sin is cowardice, cowards. It turns out that God loves boldness and courage because it's our cowardice and our keeping our mouths shut that send people to hell. So to have boldness like Daniel had, like Abraham had, like Peter had, he's in jail. He's told, you can't preach in Jesus' name. And they let him out, and he preaches in Jesus' name. I mean, this is so exciting. And so this victory is there because of the boldness that you had, that God was able to bless that boldness. If you didn't show the boldness, then how could God have blessed the boldness?
Well, when I was crucified, God raised me from the dead, so to speak. But unfortunately, that legislative victory was not grandfathered back to my case. And so I did lose a 16-year career. I was honorably discharged, but I lost $1 million pension. My wife and I were evicted from our home on the Navy base.
Wow.
And people say, chaps, that's a great price to pay, but was it worth it? Would you do it all over again? And what do you think I tell them?
Amen, I'd do it all over again.
Yes, because Jesus, you are my witness. I never watered down my prayers, and you are worth more to me than everything else this world has to offer.
Wow, praise God. So, chaps, now that's all happened to you, but you're still fighting even that part of it, right? You still might see a victory even in that decision of the Navy. It's not over yet, is it?
That's right. I have a lawsuit going on in the D.C. Court of Claims to recover my pension, recover my career, maybe even get reinstated. But, you know, even if that doesn't happen, God has blessed me immeasurably. I now have about 30,000 friends on my email list. You can sign up at prayinjesusname.org for our free emails. And we've sent about 4 million fax petitions to the U.S. Congress in the last 4 years.
Oh, my.
Defending pro-life, pro-liberty, and pro-marriage issues, traditional family values. Not only that, but I've traveled the country. I've preached in 100 churches in 27 states. I'd love to come to your church or any other pastor who'd out there. I live right here in Colorado Springs, so I can drive any Sunday you want me to come and preach.
Now, Obama, he went to 57 states. So you got a ways to go to catch up to him.
I guess I do.
You're
27.
Hey, when you tell your story, it reminds me of a pro-life hero in Las Vegas, Chet Gallagher, who was a police officer, and he was about 2 weeks or so from retirement, and Operation Rescue came to town, just like we did here in Denver and in Boulder and in Wichita. Christians there, they kneeled and prayed in front of the abortion clinic and said, "We're not going to get up. We're here to worship God and to protect these children from being killed today, peacefully, nonviolently, as Christians before the Lord." And Chet Gallagher was called to arrest them, and he took off his badge, and he said, "I will not arrest them." He did not arrest those Christians. And he was then relieved of duty, and he was fired. But we thank God that justice was done. And, chaps, he received his pension after the fact. It was ruled that he was let go unjustly, and he now has his pension, and he's a full-time personhood leader in Nevada, Chet Gallagher.
Well, praise God. You have to take a bullet sometimes. You know, even after Jesus was crucified and resurrected, he still bore the scars in his wrists. And so to be able to endure the suffering is really a privilege, but sometimes God heals us, and sometimes God restores, and sometimes we still have to wear the scars.
Amen. So that battle's going on. We could pray for you, for your attorney, for the effort. So could we come forward now to the battle that we're so involved in here at Bob and Yurt Live, which is the personhood battle. I am so excited to hear about your support for Personhood USA, the Colorado Personhood Initiative, the coalition with Leslie Hanks, Susan Sutherland, who's running up the petition initiative, Keith Mason at Personhood USA. Could you tell us what you've been able to do to help that effort?
Yes, we have a fax machine with about 83,000 pastors nationwide in my fax machine. So we are inviting pastors and going state by state. For example, we're faxing this week 1,000 Colorado pastors, inviting them to appoint a volunteer to gather signatures for the personhood petition.
Wow.
And we've done that in Mississippi. We've done that in Florida, Missouri. We're trying to get personhood on the ballot again so that we protect the rights of the unborn. Every baby from the moment of conception deserves a right to life and deserves the chance to be born. I'll tell you my own story. In 1968, I was born to an unwed mom who gave me up for adoption. So thank God that
what
she didn't.
What state was this?
That was in New York State, where abortions were legal even before Roe v. Wade.
Before Roe v. Wade. That's absolutely right.
So thank God she chose life, or else I wouldn't be here speaking. And thank God for my parents who adopted me, took into their house a little throwaway baby, and, you know, maybe changed American history with their choice.
Mm-hmm. One of my co-hosts on this show, Doug McBurney, is from Buffalo, New York. Isn't that where you're from, or originally?
Yes. You were born and raised in Buffalo, New York. And in fact, if I could mention this also, although I'm a lifelong Republican, I'm not supporting Mitt Romney for president this year.
Good for you. That takes courage.
I'm taking a step. He's a bridge too far. He's pro-abortion, pro-homosexual Republican.
A vote for Romney is a vote for Obama. A vote for Romney is a vote for Obama, because Romney has already accomplished many of the most wicked things that Obama wants to still accomplish Romney's already pulled it all off in Massachusetts. So we have to recognize that we shouldn't be deceived into voting for the enemy in the name of victory. It's not a victory when you help the enemy defeat you.
That's right. That's why this year I'm supporting Tom Hoefling for President of the United States.
America's Party.
America's Party, which was founded by Alan Keyes.
Yes.
Many of the American Right to Life people support Dr. Keyes, and I was a vice presidential candidate with him in 2008 in New York State. And Brian Rohrbach was a vice presidential candidate here
in Colorado. That's right.
And Wiley Drake in California. We are with the pro-life personhood team with America's Party.
And America's Party is 100% sold out to the God-given right to life of the unborn child. The personhood strategy is their pro-life plank. Their pro-life plank is personhood. And because of your effort and your help with America's Party, I now have, my wife Cheryl and I, we have someone to vote for in Colorado who is honorable and who will not kill innocent children. So thank you for doing that. That in and of itself is a great service to the Lord and to all the pro-life Christians in Colorado who do want to participate and want to vote this year.
Yes, and you can look for Tom Hoefling's name on the ballot this November.
All right, that is really a thrill. So tell us about your newsletter. We're almost out of time, Chaplain, but tell us what people can find in your newsletter and where they go to sign up for it.
Sign up at PrayInJesusName.org. Again, that's PrayInJesusName.org. And we send out 7 prayers on Sunday, 1-minute prayers for the coming week. And we also, during the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday, we'll send an action alert where you can sign our petitions and we will fax them to all 435 congressmen, all 100 senators instantly. Just sign up for those newsletter alerts at PrayInJesusName.org.
We have a long-standing friendship with Judge Roy Moore. Something somewhat stunning happened, Chaplain, with the judge and our personhood community out here in Colorado. When the partial birth abortion ruling came out, the judge assumed it would be a wonderful ruling, and he praised it, celebrated it. And we contacted him and we said, Judge, did you read the ruling? Because we've read it and we think it's the most gruesome, violent ruling in the history of the U.S. Supreme Court. And he said, how could that be? It was a pro-life victory. He said, I'll read it and we'll do the show. He came on the show and he apologized for having supported the ruling. It's a virtual late-term abortion manual. They explain how abortionists could kill the same baby just using all these different gruesome mechanisms. It is such an insult to the law of God and the law of man, the Constitution. And he thereby helped us in a very specific way from a legal and constitutional perspective. He helped to equip us with the tools to expose when we pro-lifers are going down the wrong path. That was Judge Roy Moore, Chaplain, and that was an honor. So we've gotten a transcript of that and excerpts, and it's all listed at American Right to Life. That was an important moment, I think, in the movement of personhood.
Thank you, Bob, and thank you for this time, and God bless your listeners, and I appreciate standing with personhood. Any donations that we get this week, we're going to devote to faxing pastors to support personhood and get those petitions in line.
Wow, that's really encouraging. Okay. So now I'm going to double my encouragement to you guys in the audience to go to PrayInJesusName.org, sign up for the weekly newsletter, and if you make a donation this week, then that'll go to promote personhood through Chaplain Klingenschmidt's ministry. May God bless you.